What the hell?
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, April 23rd, 2021, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it's a special day for two other reasons as well. First of all, it's my 1,000th show. Yes. 1,000 podcasts as an independent podcaster. Some of you, if you've joined late, you may not know, I used to be the podcaster for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, did that for 4 years. And then after leaving that job, had a decision to make. Am I going to keep doing this or do I have to buckle down and get a real job? And I chose doing this and it worked out. I can't believe it. 9 years later, eight and a half, still doing this, still podcasting. There's been a couple of hiccups on the road. We rebranded as the Marijuana Agenda for about a year and a half. And speaking of rebranding, some of that's going to be happening again, but I'm going to save that for a little later in the show because I also have to announce the other reason, the more important reason today is a special day. And that's because my lady love, Lori Duckworth, it's her birthday today. Yes, happy birthday, my love. As famed Oregon marijuana attorney Leland Berger says, when he talks to people about their activism, he says, on a scale of one to Lori Duckworth, where you at? And he couldn't be more accurate on that. She was up late last night making full extract cannabis oil, that thick, you know, Rick Simpson type oil for some patients that she's still treating and treating for free. She gets them this cannabis oil for cancer patients, for people with severe disabilities. Does it for free. That's true activism, and I wish there were more people like her. So happy birthday, my love. Also, coming up on today's show, we'll start things off, of course, with the Cannabis Headline Newsweek. Get you caught up on what's been happening in the world of legalization. Lots of federal news in today's Newsweek. Also, we're going to get in-depth today on the state of Idaho, and it's something you'll be hearing a lot more of because I'm getting very in-depth into the state of Idaho. Coming up in Behind the Headlines, I'm going to tell you about two new marijuana initiatives that I am proposing. Literally, like I'm the chief petitioner of these things and I wrote them. So I've never done such a thing in my life. I'm kind of terrified, but I'm also very excited. So we'll tell you all about a decriminalization initiative and a legalization initiative for the state of Idaho that would be unique among all the states. I'll tell you why coming up right after the Cannabis Headline News. Then we've got an anti-drug public service announcement from none other than Pee Wee Herman joining us on the show today. So stay tuned for that. And then we get into Idaho activism. Of course, this was the 420 week and a lot of stuff happened for 420 week here in the state of Idaho. Despite the fact being Idaho being America's last absolute prohibition state, this year in the legislature, more progress was made on marijuana reform than ever before. Now, compared to any other state, they're tiny, tiny baby steps, but still, they're steps forward. So we'll tell you all about that with Jackie Winters. She is the kind Idaho chief petitioner for medical marijuana, and myself. We appeared on radio in Humboldt County, California, which must be like, for them, talking to the past. And then in hour two, I'll bring you the highlights of other speakers, Lori Gazelle, Gisela Wagen, and Joe Evans, all from Kind Idaho, talking at the state capitol steps for 420 at our first ever rally. But again, first, let's start with the news.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you every weekday by Radical Russ Radio at RadicalRuss.com, your 24-hour source for marijuana music and cannabis conversations. Subscribe today for just $4.20 at patreon.com/RadicalRuss.
With your Cannabis Headline News for the week ending Friday, April 23rd, 2021, I'm Russ Belville. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on Tuesday marked the marijuana holiday 420 by making the case for ending federal prohibition on the Senate floor.
Today is what you might call a very unofficial American holiday, 420. It's as appropriate a time as any to take a hard look at our laws that have overcriminalized the use of marijuana and put it on a par with heroin, LSD, and other narcotics that bear little or no resemblance in their effects either on individuals or on society more broadly.
Schumer told Marijuana Moment in an interview on Monday that the legislation will be comprehensive and that lawmakers are working to incorporate other reform components, such as providing explicit protection for banks that work with state legal marijuana businesses.
I believe the time has come to end a federal prohibition on marijuana in this country, and I'm working with Senators Booker and Wyden on legislation to do just that.
A key Senate chairman is tempering expectations about a vote in his panel on a bill to protect banks that work with state legal marijuana businesses from being penalized by federal regulators. While the House approved the Secure and Fair Enforcement or SAFE Banking Act this week along largely bipartisan lines, Senate Banking Committee Chairman Sherrod Brown said the proposal hasn't won his support just yet, quote, because I think we need to look at a number of things, end quote. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told Marijuana Moment this week that he doesn't think it is wise for the Senate to pass cannabis banking legislation before tacking more comprehensive reform, because the more modest proposal would likely attract Republican members and undermine efforts to get support for the broader legalization legislation he's working on. In any case, Brown isn't necessarily ruling out a vote for the SAFE Banking Act, sponsored by Senators Jeff Merkley and Steve Daines, but he says his panel has other priorities. Senator Cory Booker said that President Joe Biden is already where he needs to be to get a bill to end federal marijuana prohibition enacted into law, even if he personally opposes legalization. Confusion about the president's position comes down to semantics, the senator indicated.
What we need to do at the federal level is delist marijuana. And as soon as you decriminalize marijuana, you open up states that right now are not able to do a lot of things to give way for what I want to achieve. So his policy position on marijuana, he may say, I'm not for legalization, I'm for decriminalization. As a federal official, that's where I'm trying to get.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Tuesday declined to say whether President Joe Biden would sign or veto a bill to federally legalize marijuana if it arrives on his desk, noting that his cannabis policy position is at odds with broader proposals that congressional Democratic leaders are working on.
Well, the president supports leaving decisions regarding legalization for recreational use up to the states, rescheduling cannabis as a Schedule II drug so researchers can study its positive and negative impacts. And at the federal level, he supports decriminalizing marijuana use and automatically expunging any prior criminal records. He also supports legalizing medicinal marijuana. So that's his point of view on the issue.
Asked directly what action the president would take if a federal legalization bill was sent to his desk, Psaki signaled that he wouldn't be inclined to sign it.
Well, I just have outlined what his position is, which isn't the same as what the House and Senate have proposed, but they have not yet passed a bill.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said on Wednesday that President Joe Biden's campaign pledge to release federal inmates with marijuana convictions will start with modestly rescheduling cannabis, a proposal that advocates say wouldn't actually accomplish what she's suggesting.
Will President Biden honor his commitments to release everyone in prison for marijuana?
Well, I think what I did yesterday is reiterated what his position on marijuana was, decriminalizing, rescheduling, and certainly legalizing medical marijuana. What you're asking me is a legal question, and now we're in government, and so I had to follow up with our legal team, and I don't have any additional information quite yet.
Regarding rescheduling, that wouldn't necessarily release anyone from prison. Schedule 2 has fentanyl and cocaine.
Right. It addresses things moving forward, though, which is important and important to many advocates.
Should people in prison for marijuana who are asking President Biden to honor his pledge to release them, should they expect to be released, or are they going to serve life in prison for marijuana?
Well, again, I think I've stated very clearly what the president's position is. What you're asking me is a legal question. I'd point you to the Department of Justice, and if there's anything more we can provide from here, I'm happy to provide it.
A whopping 91% of Americans believe that marijuana prohibition should end and cannabis should be legal for either medical or recreational purposes, according to a new Pew Research Center poll released on Friday. The survey comes shortly after three additional states, New York, Virginia, and New Mexico, enacted adult use legalization. It asked adults to pick between three options. Marijuana should be legal for medical use only, it should be legal both recreationally and medically, or it should continue to be illegal. 60% of respondents said that cannabis should be legal for both medical and adult use. 31% said it should be legalized for therapeutic uses only. And just 8% of Americans said it should continue to be criminalized across the board. A majority of those in every age, race, and political demographic included in the poll said they feel marijuana should be legal in some form. Support was lowest for full legalization among people aged 75 and older, while majorities of those aged 18 to 74 back legalization for all adults. Another poll has found that a majority of Americans support legalizing marijuana and clearing the records of those with prior cannabis convictions. This one, commissioned by CBS News and released on the unofficial marijuana holiday 420, shows that 55% of respondents said recreational cannabis should be legal in their own state, compared with 42% who said it should be illegal. Participants were also asked about cannabis-related issues. For example, 59% of adults said that people with nonviolent marijuana convictions in states that have legalized should have their records cleared, versus 37% who said the conviction shouldn't be expunged. Two-thirds of U.S. adults believe the federal government should legalize recreational or medical marijuana, according to an Ipsos poll released this week. An additional 21% say states should be able to decide on legalization without federal interference. Just 11% of respondents in the survey said marijuana should remain strictly federally illegal across the board. Beyond their stance on legalization, the survey also asked Americans what they believe the effects of cannabis legalization would be. Half said they strongly or somewhat agreed that tax revenue from legal cannabis would improve neighborhoods, while only about a quarter said there would be more crime near cannabis retailers. Nearly a third of people were concerned cannabis would act as a gateway drug, agreeing that marijuana would lead to the use of more addictive drugs, but a majority of 52% disagreed with the idea that cannabis use is an entry point to consuming more dangerous substances. Lawmakers in the U.S. House of Representatives have introduced three new bills to make state legal marijuana businesses eligible for federal small business services, including loans, disaster relief, and grant programs. The package of legislation is aimed at establishing parity for cannabis businesses, which are currently prohibited from receiving federal aid due to marijuana still being classified as a Schedule I controlled substance. The country's legal cannabis industry nevertheless now supports nearly 320,000 full-time jobs in the United States, according to industry estimates. Appearing on local talk radio's The Kevin Miller Show and later at the state capitol steps yesterday, the Idaho Citizens Coalition announced two initiatives seeking to legalize personal marijuana use in one of the last states to lack any sort of medical marijuana law. Both initiatives are unique to the national scene in that they do not intend to create any commercial market for cannabis in Idaho, instead relying on consumers to continue purchasing legal products from bordering states. Idaho legislators in 2020 added a new single subject rule to initiative petitions. ICC is worried that a hostile Idaho court would determine that personal marijuana possession and a commercial cannabis market are two subjects and invalidate the petitions, like happened with a medical marijuana initiative in Nebraska in 2020. With that in mind, the first petition is the Personal Adult Marijuana Expungement and Legalization Act, or PAMALA. It would allow adults to possess up to 3 ounces of marijuana, cultivate 4 mature cannabis plants, and provide a process for expungement of prior criminal records related to those activities. And if courts determine that cultivation or expungement run afoul of a single subject rule, the second petition is the Personal Adult Marijuana Decriminalization Act, or PAMDA. Its sole objective is legalization of the possession of 3 ounces of marijuana. A committee of Senate lawmakers succeeded Wednesday evening in passing a heavily amended version of a bill to implement and tax recreational marijuana in Montana, one of the final priorities of a legislative session nearing its close. Among the many changes to the Senate Select Committee on Marijuana Laws made to the bill before passing it on a voice vote is to partially restore some funding in the bill for conservation and land easements, allocations that existed in Ballot Initiative 190, a legalization proposal that voters approved last year, but that received pushback from Republicans who argued that only the legislature has the right to make spending decisions, not the voters. The version of the flagship pot bill that emerged from committee Wednesday also allows for limited home grow of marijuana, some local taxation, and provides a compromise on the sticky issue of a locality's right to refuse to authorize recreational marijuana. Recreational marijuana under the bill can have up to 2 plants per person and 4 plants per household, but the bill officially bans outdoor growing of cannabis, a provision requested by the hemp industry. Another day, another House committee approval of a bill to legalize marijuana in Minnesota. On Saturday, a seventh panel cleared the proposal from House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler, Speaker Melissa Hortman, and other lawmakers since it was filed in February. The bill would allow adults 21 and older to purchase and possess up to 1.5 ounces of cannabis and cultivate up to 8 plants, 4 of which could be mature. Winkler recently said that he expects the legislation to go through any remaining panels by the end of April, with a floor vote anticipated in May. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam on Wednesday ceremonially signed a bill to legalize marijuana in the Commonwealth.
As you all know, we are here today to celebrate, a milestone for Virginia. We are the first state in the South to move forward with legalizing marijuana.
While the legislation was technically already enacted earlier this month when lawmakers approved a series of amendments the governor recommended after they first sent the bill to his desk, the cannabis policy change marks a significant achievement for Northam in the final year of his administration, and so he arranged a ceremony to put pen to paper on the reform. The event, which the governor deemed a joint press conference in a tweet at 4:20 p.m. on Tuesday's 4:20 cannabis holiday, also featured lawmakers and advocates, including Normal Virginia Executive Director Jen Michelle Padini.
Today and together, we celebrate an extraordinary victory for cannabis justice in the Commonwealth.
The Florida Supreme Court has dealt a critical blow to marijuana activists working to legalize marijuana in the state, killing an initiative that hundreds of thousands of voters have already signed and forcing them to start all over again if they want to make the 2022 ballot. In a 5-2 ruling on Thursday, the court determined that the Make It Legal Florida Reform Initiative is unconstitutional, arguing that the ballot summary is, quote, affirmatively misleading because it says adult-use cannabis would be made lawful in the state without explicitly acknowledging that it would remain illegal under federal law. That means advocates would have to start over from drafting the measure to collecting signatures if they hope to make next year's ballot. The group had already collected over 556,000 valid signatures for the now invalidated constitutional measure. They needed over 891,000 to place the initiative before voters. Then at least 60% of voters would have had to approve it on the ballot for it to pass. A controversial measure being contemplated by Florida lawmakers to cap the potency of medical marijuana will apparently not become law this year. For weeks, House Bill 1455 seemed to have some momentum in the Republican-led Florida legislature. In March, Republican lawmakers in two House committees voted to advance the bill, which, among other things, would have capped the amount of tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, in the marijuana offered to patients. The measure would have had to clear just one more committee until it could be heard on the House floor, Health and Human Services. But the Health Committee met on Monday for the last scheduled time without hearing the THC bill. Quote, I think the bill is effectively dead, said the measure's sponsor, Spencer Roach, a Republican of Fort Myers. Quote, anything is possible and nothing is ever really dead until sine die, but right now I don't see a path forward, end quote. A bill to allow medical marijuana patients in Louisiana to access raw cannabis flower cleared a key House committee on Thursday, 2 days after the full chamber approved complementary legislation on taxing those products if they are legalized. The House Health and Welfare Committee easily passed the marijuana flower bill in a 12-1 vote. It would amend the state's existing medical cannabis law to make it so physicians may recommend raw marijuana products intended for inhalation. Dispensaries could sell up to 2.5 ounces of flower cannabis to each patient in a 14-day period. Patients under 21 would need to have a written order from a physician specifically recommending marijuana in raw or crude form for that person to access those products. Coloradoans bidding on 420-themed personalized license plates in a first-of-its-kind charity auction raised $45,410 for the Colorado Disability Fund. 14 vanity plates were up for bids that started on April 1 and ran through April 20th. The top seller was the plate Is It 420, which received 69 bids and sold for $6,630. Tegrity, the fictional marijuana cultivation company in the cartoon South Park, came in second at $4,930, but was the most desired plate with 151 bids. Bong came in third, netting $3,890 as its top bid. The following plates, Green, Ganja, Honey, Happy, Herb, Indica, Hemp, and Hash, all went for between $2,500 and $3,510. Sativa finished $510 lower than Indica, only bringing in $2,210. Got Wax and Stash finished at the bottom at $1,890 and $1,860, respectively. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for the week ending Friday, April 23rd, 2021.
I'm Russ Belville. Cannabis Headline News is heard at the top of every hour on Radical Russ Radio, and Friday's news is contained within the free Russ Belville Show Live podcast. For daily downloads of Cannabis Headline News podcast to your device every morning, subscribe by becoming a patron of Radical Russ Radio.
Love that story of the Colorado auction. I wish more of the legal states would auction off some of those personalized vanity plates for the 420 friendly crowd. What a great way to make money and spread the word. I love it. Oh yeah! Well, we all know what that sound means. It's 420 here in the Mountain Time Zone. Time for our union mandated safety briefing. Make sure to be ultra safe out there. When we come back, I'm going to tell you all about two new initiatives for the state of Idaho for decriminalization and for legalization. Written by me. What?
The Coffee Pod in Sumter, Oregon is your fast, friendly marijuana shop nestled in the beautiful Elkhorn Mountain Range outside of Baker City. We're serving Eastern Oregon and Idaho's Treasure Valley with the selection of flower, pre-rolls, vapes, dab, and edibles you need at the prices that make it well worth the drive. Don't venture to some well-watched parking lot in some border town dispensary just to take a number and wait in a long line for your cannabis products. Make the drive to the Coffee Pot in Sumter and deal one-on-one with your bud tender with no waiting. See, feel, and smell the products you're after and make your purchase knowing your tax dollars are helping a small tourist community that needs it. Plus, every dollar you spend is a point toward our Bong Bucks program that earns you coupons on glass and accessories. The Coffee Pot also honors our military, seniors, teachers, and first responders with a 10% discount. And as always, OMMP patients pay no 20% tax. Come on up to the Coffee Pot in Sumter, the first business on the left, on the side of the two-story log cabin restaurant, and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you for being the cannabis crusader out there. You're a trusted voice in the industry, so keep doing what you do. Oh. I really appreciate it.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere.
Now, as a service to listeners considering the use of pharmaceutical medications that, unlike marijuana, are approved for medical use by the Federal Food and Drug Administration, the Russ Belville Show presents the Big Pharma ad of the day.
Opdivo significantly increased the chance of living longer versus chemotherapy. Opdivo works with your immune system. Opdivo can cause your immune system to attack normal organs and tissues in your body and affect how they work.
Wait, hold up. Makes my immune system attack my own organs?
This may happen anytime during or after treatment has ended and may become serious and lead to death.
You don't say.
See your doctor right away if you experience new or worsening cough, chest pain, shortness of breath, diarrhea, severe stomach pain or tenderness, severe nausea or vomiting, extreme fatigue, constipation, excessive thirst or urine, swollen ankles, loss of appetite, rash, itching, headache.
Medical marijuana. Not approved by the FDA, but it's not going to kill your organs either.
Radical Russ here for the Idaho Citizens Coalition for Cannabis. Since 2010, the members of the Idaho Citizens Coalition have been fighting to legalize marijuana in America's last absolute prohibition state. We believe Idahoans deserve legal access to the cannabis plant in all of its forms. Find out more about the Idaho Citizens Coalition at idahocan.co. That's idahocann.co. And find us on Facebook at IdahoCan.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today we're taking a focus on the state of Idaho, my home state, that I have returned to, and I have returned to legalize the state of Idaho. Because, folks, I love a challenge. Talk about job security, right? If you're going to be a legalizer, pick the state that's going to take the longest, I guess. I don't know. But here's the deal, folks. We've got the Idaho Medical Marijuana Act that is currently gathering signatures in the state of Idaho. It started in February. And as part of that, it was subject to a rule that says we have to collect signatures in 18 out of 35 districts. And this month, the governor signed a bill that increases that to 35 districts. Okay. So the Idaho Medical Marijuana Act, currently gathering signatures, gets to go under the old rules. Any new initiative that gets filed has to go under the new rules that require 35 districts, which makes it very expensive and almost impossible. So why would I think that would be the perfect time to drop a couple of other initiatives? Well, the reason why is because there is an intense focus right now on this SB 1110. That's the bill here in Idaho that just got signed that increases the signature requirement to 35 districts. There's a very powerful political group here in the state of Idaho called Reclaim Idaho. That was the group that successfully negotiated the 18 district rule, the first group to actually get something on the ballot and pass it. There was one other initiative that got on the ballot. It was a horse racing thing and it failed. So in the time that we've had this 18 district rule, there's only been two that made the ballot and only one that passed. And that was the Reclaim Idaho one. Well, because of them expanding Medicaid and passing it by like a 60% margin, the Idaho legislature that had been refusing to expand Medicaid for like 7 years got really upset and wanted to make sure this never happened again. And that's why they've come up with SB 1110. That made them a really big political enemy because now Reclaim Idaho is doing massive fundraising and quite successfully to file a lawsuit to challenge the constitutionality of SB 1110. The Idaho Constitution gives the people the right to petition to create laws and reject laws, and anything you do statutorily that infringes upon that right, overly so, is something that could be declared unconstitutional. And that's where our new initiatives come in. We're looking at a situation where if this goes to court, and I should say when this goes to court, there's a possibility of two possible outcomes, or three outcomes, really. One outcome is they lose the suit and we're stuck with the 35 district rule. Second outcome is they win the lawsuit and the 35 district rule is invalidated and it goes back to the 18 district rule. And another possibility is they look at the whole idea of having a district rule and decide that that's unconstitutional in and of itself, and they get rid of all the district requirements. We only need 6% statewide. So if we get result two or result three, that bodes well for being able to pass an initiative. But you have to have an initiative filed to be able to do that. So that's the logic behind filing these initiatives now. Even though there's a 35 district requirement, it's in the hopes that we get a lesser requirement to get to deal with. And if not, it provides us the experience of putting together an initiative, building the volunteer teams, and working as hard as we can to get it on the ballot. It also keeps the discussion in the news, keeps people talking about legalization, and it provides a foil for the medical campaign to play off of. See, the medical campaign in Idaho gets attacked by the Idaho politicians and the opponents as being the stepping stone to legalization, as being the camel's nose under the tent, the Trojan horse. By providing two other initiatives that are decrim and legalization, they can say, no, we're just the medical. Those are the rec guys. If you want to reject or accept that, that's their deal. We're medical. So it provides kind of a distraction or a deflection of the big money marijuana interests are coming in to try to make a lot of money. So the other two initiatives, and these will be dropped very soon. I had to, you know, make sure I get all my ducks in a row, and I have a couple more reviews to do of this, but the basic framework is there. And we announced this at the 420 rally as well. We're going to provide two different initiatives. One of them is called PAMALA, the Personal Adult Marijuana Expungement and Legalization Act, PAMALA. And the second one is called PAMDA, the Personal Adult Marijuana Decriminalization Act. What is similar about the both of them and what would be groundbreaking as far as marijuana initiatives go is that neither one of those initiatives creates pot shops. It does not create any pot shops in Idaho, no commercial marijuana grows in Idaho, no processors in Idaho, no testers in Idaho. And that goes back to what I was telling you about the attacks we get, that it's big money coming in here to try to addict people. Well, Idaho's in a unique situation in that it's surrounded by legal states. Already, Idahoans are used to crossing the western border to shop for their legal marijuana purchases. Soon, they'll be crossing the eastern border with Montana and the southern border with Nevada to get their marijuana purchases. So we decided, let's defang the attack on the commercial industry. Oh, you're just trying to get rich. By saying, no, we're not. We're just trying to pass personal legalization. We're trying to legalize what people are doing now. They're going and buying weed and they're bringing it back to Idaho. And there's no reason they should be arrested for that. That's it. So they can't attack us on, oh, you're trying to get rich, or there's going to be pot shops on every corner, or there's going to be big marijuana grows. Uh-uh. Personal marijuana. Now, the difference between the two is this. The Pamela one, the larger one, will include 3 ounces possession. And why we chose 3 ounces? Because that's the misdemeanor limit in Idaho. So whatever's currently misdemeanor possession in Idaho will just be legal. Also 3 ounces, so that when people go to Oregon and come back, they're not having to go 1 ounce at a time and make multiple trips. We can slow down some of the trips. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. Isn't 3 ounces more than you're legally allowed to buy in Oregon? Yeah, it is. So the other thing would be Pamela would allow the cultivation of 4 cannabis plants, and it would expunge records. But we were concerned because Idaho now has a single subject rule that's been added to its initiative power. And in Nebraska, there was a medical marijuana initiative that got taken off the ballot precisely because it tried to create a commercial market and it tried to create the medical possession limits. And say they said that was 2 subjects. So we kept the commercial out so it wouldn't be 2 subjects. But now we're worried, could the expungement be a second subject? Could the home grow be a second subject? Because, you know, Idaho courts are going to try to find any way they can to dismiss this kind of stuff. So the second initiative, the PAMDA, is very simple. All it does is decriminalizes 3 ounces of weed. No home grows, no expungement, nothing else, just decrim 3 ounces of weed. Basically, if you go to Ontario and buy weed, you bring it back, you'll be legal when you get home. So I'll have more details on that as we get them filed and written up. I'm sure I'll tell you all about them. But it'll be a unique way to legalize by relying on the out-of-state sellers to supply us, which I believe will then create so much pressure on the Idaho legislature, they'll be forced to come up with some solution to keep the tax money in the state. Thinking this through a little bit. Coming back with Jackie Winters and I talking on Humboldt County Radio. But first, we have a anti-drug public service announcement from none other than Mr. P.B. Herman. That's coming up right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belville. You know me. I'm from Idaho, where we've got 2 strains of marijuana, got some and don't. But until I can help legalize marijuana in the Gem State, I can still bring you the best the hemp plant has to offer at Boise Hemp World. Boise Hemp World features the Mama Duck line of CBD tinctures and pain creams, and the Billy Dogs line of CBD pet tinctures and dog treats. Hemp World also features CBD candy, gummies, gum, spices, and a whole assortment of tie-dye and hemp clothing and accessories. And under the laws of America's last absolute prohibition state, all Hemp World CBD products are 100% THC-free, so you won't fail any drug screenings. Boise Hemp World, now with 2 locations, our flagship store at 6928 West State Street in the Glenwood Shopping Center, and our new location at 1720 West State Street in the Albertson Shopping Center. We're also the headquarters for the Idaho Cannabis Coalition's campaign to legalize medical marijuana in 2022. Find us online at BoiseHempWorld.com or call us toll-free at 844-IDA-HEMP and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
You're listening to Radical Russ Radio, right on the edge of America's last absolute prohibition state.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, The Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. It's the most addictive kind of cocaine, and it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying. It isn't worth it. Look, everybody wants to be cool. But doing it with crack isn't just wrong. It could be dead wrong.
This has been the Russ Belville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day, exclusively on RadicalRuss.com.
All right, welcome back. 35 after the hour here at the Russ Belleville Show, coming to you from America's last absolute prohibition state, where the legislature is still in session, over 102 days now. That can only mean one thing. Our rights are under attack. And we talked a little bit about that. Myself and Jackie Winters, she's the chief petitioner for the Idaho Medical Marijuana Act and the founder of Kind Idaho, which is the activist group that is heading up the support for that act. You can find more about them at kindidaho.org. We spoke to Humboldt County Radio, the particular show there, 94.1 FM in Humboldt County, that was doing a program on the fight for marijuana legalization in other states. And I gotta say, from the point of view of people living in Humboldt County, looking at Idaho must be like, you know, looking at the Middle Ages or you know, medieval times or something like that, because we're so far behind. We're still at a point where we're trying to convince some people that marijuana has medical benefits. There are some people, we heard them in the legislature, who testified to the fact that no, it's not really helping pain. It's just fooling people into thinking their pain is not there. Which makes you wonder, so? If it's make it feel like it's not there, isn't that what we want? So we spoke with Humboldt County Radio. This was on last weekend, I believe. And they were very gracious in allowing us to use some of the audio to play for you here. So let me turn things over to the host of the program in Humboldt County and his talking to myself and first speaking with Jackie Winters, Kind Idaho spokesperson and head of the chief petition.
We also spoke with Jackie Winters, founder of Kind Idaho, an organization that's working with the Idaho Citizens Coalition to gather signatures. We asked Jackie why she got involved with the project.
I felt like Idaho is losing her voice, and I know lots of people in Idaho who suffer greatly and that make their weekly, sometimes daily trips to a different state to purchase their medical marijuana. So we're definitely smoking it in Idaho, and I would like it to be with compassion for the people who need it for medical reasons. And I've experienced that firsthand with my daughter. And then there's elderly people. We have such a huge community of elderly that suffers with arthritis and osteoporosis. And it's just not that big of a deal. And Idaho is just, I feel like we're losing our rights and our voice. We need the governor to be standing up for our rights. It's extremely important for so many people who suffer in Idaho, and we know they're going to different states to get their medication. So wouldn't it be nice to have it right here where we live?
Jackie is correct about Idahoans visiting neighboring states to get their medicine. The town of Ontario, Oregon, the birthplace of the school lunch staple tater tots, sits at the edge of the Treasure Valley, as it's known, where 40% of Idaho's population lives. Ontario, Oregon, is only a 50-minute drive from Boise. Though Ontario has a population of just 11,000 people, it is home to 9 dispensaries. Some have estimated that Ontario, Oregon will eventually generate $120 to $130 million in annual sales, a figure exceeding 10% of the entire state's 2020 sales. Here's Jackie Winters.
The figures from Oregon and Washington and all the 8 dispensaries they have there are booming. I mean, it's just unreal. Of course, that's Idaho money. They know where it's coming from. So most definitely, there are drugs in Idaho. There are. I would just like it to be legal for medical patients. And it's just, I feel like he's got blinders on at this point. And I'm talking about Mr. Groh. I don't know that he is getting all the facts here. You know what I'm saying? I just don't know what his reasons behind it are.
Mr. Groh. While you could be forgiven for thinking that's the name of a local hydroponic store, it's actually the name of an Idaho senator, Cecil Scott Groh, or C. Scott Groh, as he prefers to be called. Senator Groh was originally appointed to his seat to fill a vacancy and has since been reelected. While anti-legalization sentiment is prevalent throughout the Idaho legislature, many point to Senator Groh as the most active opponent. Here's Russ Belleville of the Idaho Citizens Coalition describing the source of legislative opposition.
As I was mentioning, they still believe discredited reefer madness from the 1990s. Not only do they believe marijuana is a gateway drug that then inexorably leads you to a life of heroin addiction or something, they also believe medical marijuana is a gateway policy. They call it the camel's nose under the tent. If sure, we can help the cancer patients out, but then they'll sneak in, and then the next thing you know, it'll be marijuana legalization. And then the next thing you know, they often like to point to Oregon next door and say, you know, because Oregon has now decriminalized personal possession of all drugs, and say, well, see, that'll be the next thing that'll happen, is Idaho will inexorably slide from medical marijuana to recreational marijuana to decriminalizing all drugs, which, of course, is a logical fallacy, because at each step along the way, the people would have to vote on that stuff, or the legislature would have to pass new laws. It's not as if you legalize medical marijuana and suddenly the whole state is so stoned that you just sneak this stuff in. But that's the way they really believe. And there's also a religious aspect to this. Idaho probably has the highest concentration of people of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, next to Utah. If it's not larger per capita, it's at least pretty large. It's the second most Mormon state. And a lot of the leadership in the Senate and the House are also leadership in the Mormon Church. Particularly, State Senator C. Scott Groh is on the council, I think it's called the Quorum of the 70 in the Mormon Church, which is like their Congress. So he's like a congressman in the Mormon Church and a senator in the Idaho State Legislature, who got his seat from an appointment by the governor before he won his first election. So you have a senator like C. Scott Groh that then puts forth this proposed constitutional amendment to strip Idahoans of their petitioning rights to ever change not just medical marijuana or recreational marijuana, but perhaps, you know, medical psilocybin or therapeutic MDMA or anything that might be developed in the future. And in his testimony debating this and proposing this, Senator Groh often made pointed remarks about the Idaho Constitution's Article 1, Section 26, which says the government is installed to provide for the temperance and morality of the people and should promote sobriety amongst the people. So, you know, Idaho's Constitution was written in the 1890s when the temperance movement was happening, so there was a lot of that prohibitionist mindset. And he actually wrote his House resolution based on that constitutional provision and saying that this was our job to protect Idaho from drugs by making them permanently illegal and impossible to change by initiative. So there's, to sum it up, there's a religious aspect to it, and there's a reefer madness aspect to it. And the third part, law enforcement. They're one of the strongest lobbies in the state of Idaho. They get a lot of money through asset forfeiture, which is a lot of that is fueled by marijuana stops. They're rated a D minus as far as their state asset forfeiture rules. And of course, as we all know, marijuana arrests are easy arrests for police that take little time and cause little danger to them. So they don't want to see that changed either. Fourth, there's an anti-drug coalition group of people and retired law enforcement who've moved in from states like California, Oregon, and Washington and Colorado, who spout the terrible things that happened in their cities and blame it all on marijuana legalization. A lot of misinformation, a lot of ulterior motives and second agendas.
We reached out to Senator Groh's office in an effort to include his perspective in this show, but received no response.
Well, that's surprising. Now, see, opponents don't really want to talk about the issue because they know they're on the losing side. They want to marshal their forces, the power that they can exert in an undemocratic way, because they know if this comes down to a vote, if it comes down to the will of the people want marijuana. No demographic supports prohibition anymore. Everybody supports legalization that's under the age of 75. Time to get with the program, Idaho.
I'm Radical Russ, host of Marijuana Metal here on Radical Russ Radio. In 60 minutes, I bring you the heaviest rock and metal music forged with the stickiest sweet leaf. Check the replay schedule at RadicalRust.com and then bang your head with me to some marijuana metal, where our 420 goes to 11.
And now, Puff Pass Ponder with Radical Russ. Some people call heroin dope, and some people call marijuana dope. Before you buy, make sure your dealer knows which is which. This has been Puff Pass Ponder with Radical Russ.
Radical Russ here, reminding you that marijuana legalization doesn't just happen. Smart, dedicated activists have put their freedom and future on the line to make it happen. Like the activists at the Drug Policy Alliance, DPA has been fighting to end the persecution of drug users through the enactment of policy that ends criminalization and promotes harm reduction. DPA has also been a backer of many of the medical and recreational marijuana laws to pass in America. Find out more by visiting drugpolicy.org. And keep it here on Radical Russ Radio for conversations with leaders from this organization, the best marijuana music, and the latest news about cannabis.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Well, today in the rant, not so much of a rant, more of a recording. We appeared at 420 at the Statehouse steps, the first ever 420 rally in Boise history. And I emceed along with some other guests that got up to speak, and we basically gave a presentation to the state of Idaho to inform them about the facts about marijuana, because they sure didn't hear very many facts when they were at the Statehouse. Let's go to the Statehouse steps.
My name is Russ Belville. I'm a spokesperson for the Idaho Citizens Coalition, and I welcome you to 420 in Boise. I've done 420 a lot of places around the world. I've been in Texas, New York, lots of places to do 420. I've never been more proud to do a 420 event than the one we're doing right here. And the reason why is because Idaho needs this. Idaho needs this. I can't tell you how many times I do interviews, I get on talk radio, and I hear so much ignorance, so much fear, so much hatred, so much bigotry against people who use cannabis, people who choose to use a substance safer than alcohol. And I'm not going to put up with it anymore, and I hope you aren't either. We're going to change these laws, and that's what we're here for today. Right down here, we've got our table for the Idaho Medical Marijuana Act. It's a petition that we're putting together to place medical marijuana on the November 2022 ballot. We need 64,946 signatures to do this. Yours could be one of them. We've got until April of 2022 to get this all taken care of. Now, the group that is behind the Medical Marijuana Act this year is called Kind Idaho. Some of their representatives are right down there, and if you'd like to get involved with them to learn how to become a petitioner, to get some petitions of your own, talk to the folks down there from Kind Idaho.
And me.
And Jackie, my mom. Talk to my mom as well. I never thought my 73-year-old mom would become a medical marijuana activist. So I want to be clear that the Kind Idaho group and the Medical Marijuana Act are its own thing. Medical marijuana is its own issue. There's a lot of people that conflate these issues. I hear the opponents all the time say, medical marijuana is just a stepping stone to get recreational. Not for a cancer patient, it ain't. Not for an AIDS patient, not for an MS patient.
Or a surgery patient.
Or a surgery patient, chronic pain, nausea. For them, it doesn't matter whether it becomes recreational or not. For them, it's a matter of whether or not they go to jail for the medicine that treats them best. Now, if medical marijuana awakens people's minds, opens them up to the possibilities, kills some of that prejudice, and then they go on later to vote for recreational, well, that's fine too. See, the stepping stone idea at every step along the way is a vote of the people. You can vote for medical marijuana, and then if rec comes up, you can vote no. It's up to you. We heard that from the legislature all this year, is we need to give the people of Idaho a choice. That's what we want to do. We want to put medical marijuana on the ballot and give people a choice. So let me tell you a little bit about Idaho Citizens Coalition, because our group is a bit different. We cover all the bases. We're about everything having to do with cannabis. We're about medical marijuana, obviously. Patients need this medicine, full stop. My dad is one of these patients. He's a neuropathy sufferer, has chronic pain from neuropathy. He's had diabetes. He's had a few cancers cut out of his face. When he started on his neuropathy path with getting medication from the doctors, they put him on 60 milligrams of morphine a day. 60 milligrams of morphine. And it kind of worked, kind of, sort of. But it left his mind all fogged up, left his bowels all plugged up, started messing with his kidneys and other internal organs. Dad came and visited me when I was living in Portland, Oregon a few years back, and I said, Dad, try medical marijuana, please, just try it, give it a shot. You don't even have to smoke it, we got a tincture, you can just put it underneath your tongue. And he was pretty against it, because you gotta understand, my dad's a recovering drug and alcohol addict. He got clean and sober in the 80s. He was even in the Statesman on the front page about his drug recovery. He became a drug and alcohol counselor. He helped people kick alcohol and hard drugs. So he was very anti-drug, like, no, I don't want to get high, I don't want to have a drug. I said, Dad, you're on 60 milligrams of morphine, you're already high. Like, I love this idea that somehow oxy doesn't get you high, come on. I said, Dad, try it. So he tried it that night, put a tincture under his tongue. Next morning, gets up and says, I can't believe it, that's the first night of pain-free sleep I've had in 20 years. 20 years. Then he says, all right, so where do I get this stuff? How can I get more of this stuff? I said, well, Dad, you can't. You live in Idaho. That's a felony in Idaho. Well, we got to do something about that. All right, you want to be the chief petitioner for our Medical Marijuana Act? He said, sure. So the last time around when we did medical marijuana, my dad was the chief petitioner. And I can tell you the results. Since he's gone on that cannabis medicine, the 60 milligram morphine dose is now down to 10. 5 out of 6 pills he's able to throw away because of medical cannabis. His diabetes meds, doctor took them off him. He said, your A1C has been solid for 6 months since you started this cannabis thing. You don't need the diabetes meds anymore. Amazing. And of course, when he has to deal with the bouts of cutting cancers off, it's a pain reliever for that. So we are absolutely for medical marijuana in the Idaho Citizens Coalition, but we're for more. We're for industrial hemp. Now, you may have heard the legislature passed a hemp bill, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But it is the most ridiculous thing on the planet that hemp is illegal as a drug. Hemp is cannabis with less than 0.3% THC. You could smoke a bale of it and you wouldn't get high. And yet, because it looks like pot, they banned it. Something looks like a drug, so they had to ban it. I mean, that'd be like banning powdered sugar because it looks like cocaine, right? Why are you doing this? So we are for industrial hemp as well, and better industrial hemp. The type of industrial hemp that can have more than 0.3% THC. At the federal level right now, they're already talking about increasing the hemp limit to 1%, tripling, more than tripling the hemp level. THC level. And the reason for that? Too many farmers in these hemp states are planting hemp crops, and when they go to harvest them, they pop up at 0.4 or 0.5, and they have to burn the whole crop. They can't sell it, can't do anything with it, because it's over that 0.3. So we are for hemp, and we are for improving hemp. That also includes hemp products. We are for full-spectrum CBD. Now, you may not know this, but the CBD that's legal here in Idaho is synthetic CBD. You have to get CBD isolate. You have to get absolutely 0.0% THC, or else the thing you have is marijuana under state law. If you go to some of these gas stations that are selling full-spectrum CBD oil that has less than 0.3% THC in it, You're buying marijuana under Idaho law. If you're caught with that and the cops care to prosecute for it, they can put you in jail for it, just like marijuana. So obviously that's not going to work, because part of the miracle of CBD is it works better with a little THC. Well, I've known a number of these epileptic kids, and you give them the CBD and it helps calm their seizures. If it's CBD alone, it helps a little, but if it's hemp CBD with a little bit of THC, it works so much better. So we're not going to stop until we have full spectrum CBD in this state as well. We also stand for decriminalization. Now, decriminalization just refers to ending criminal penalties for something, but not making it technically legal. You kind of make it more like a speeding ticket. And there's a lot of states that have decrim as well, where if they catch you with a little bit, they just give you a ticket and they take your weed. That would be a better policy than what Idaho has right now. At least the people making the drive back from Ontario wouldn't have to worry about having all their belongings strewn on the side of the freeway, sitting in cuffs, waiting for the dog to go around. So we stand for decriminalization as well. And finally, adult legalization. We stand for adult marijuana legalization because I believe any state that can allow me to drink a beer or smoke a cigar should have no problem with me smoking a joint in my own home. So we're going to continue to fight until no Idahoan, whether they're healthy or sick, is ever punished for their use of marijuana. But it's going to take steps. It's going to go step by step. And right now what we're focused on is the medical cannabis issue. So remember, you've got your people right over there, the yellow shirts. You can sign up with them. Now, some other factoids for you. There's going to be a few facts in this presentation. This most recent legislative session. Oh, and by the way, I've got a ton of extra signs up there. If anyone wants to grab a sign, you can have it. This year at the Idaho legislature was a full frontal assault on marijuana. Oh, there it goes. That's what the clip is for, Russ. Let's try this again. There we go. So this has been a full frontal assault on marijuana and petitioning rights. It's been an assault on petitioning rights in general, but specifically marijuana. And it has been mentioned by a number of the senators and representatives in here that they had to do this. They had to attack our petition rights, or else those people from out of state will pass a medical marijuana law. As if out of state people are voting for it. No, Idahoans would vote for it, right? So here are the few things that we are dealing with. First of all, I'm going to start with the good news. HJR 4, Senator C. Scott Groh and Representative Gayanne DeMordant sponsored two pieces of legislation this year that would have taken Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 drugs and put them in the Constitution. Now, the reason they wanted to do that is because if drug prohibition's in the Constitution, we can't touch it. You can't put out an initiative that does something unconstitutional. And we can't pass constitutional amendments in Idaho. So their whole goal, and Senator Groh said this on the Senate floor, the only way we'll ever be able to stop medical marijuana from coming into Idaho is if we put this in the Constitution. Well, guess what? They failed. We won. This thing went to the Senate, and the Senate voted for it in a two-thirds majority. When it got to the House, a lot of House Republicans balked at this, not because they're pro-marijuana in any way, but they're pro-Constitution. Hey, imagine lawmakers who respect our Constitution. It blows your mind, doesn't it? So yes, they failed to get the two-thirds majority on HJR 4, which means we still have the right to petition for marijuana in the state of Idaho. This year, next year.
And that's why we're moving forward with decriminalization and legalization initiatives. And hopefully we'll be able to knock down that new 35 district requirement, so it'll be easier to get these initiatives on the ballot. Because when we do, they will pass. The people of Idaho are ready for this. I guarantee it. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. I'm going to tell you about what's coming up for the future of this show. Some very exciting news. And more from the 420 rallies, featuring guest speakers Joe Evans, Gisela Logan, and the birthday girl herself, Lori Duckworth. For everyone here in Idaho's, in America's last absolute prohibition state, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You're growing, you're trying to roam it, you're smoking, and it goes down smooth.